Welcome to Care in Action, the podcast by Care Austria, with Andrea Barstorff-Hager.
A very warm welcome to the Care in Action podcast. I'm doing another online podcast with my colleague Michelle Nunn. She is the CEO of Care US, and Care US is the biggest member of the Care Confederation. And today we are talking about something rather trivial, the 80th anniversary of Care. No worries, we are not celebrating the anniversary, but we come to that later. First of all, a warm welcome to my appreciated colleague, Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Thank you. So good to be with you and to have this moment to reflect and to look forward.
As I said before, 18 years of Care in Austria, this is something very special. The whole year is full of celebration because 18 years ago was the end of World War II. The world was the same, but the structure was totally different. And I think it was also the sparking moment to build a special relationship between the United States and countries in Europe like Austria, Germany, France, many, many of them, because Europe was in total despair and we needed to end this war, and the US was one of the main players to end this war. And in this time, and then I take it over to you, I hand it over to you, the care packages were invented in the US. And this was before the Organization of Care was founded, but these were the founding fathers and mothers of Care, if you want. Can you tell us a little bit what it means for you, the care package 80 years ago packed in the United States and sent to the civil society of the so-called enemy at those times?
I hearken back to the care story so often because it's such a point of inspiration. It's really extraordinary story of a few Americans who said, we're not going to let suffering stand. We see the suffering of people in Europe post-World War, and we are going to act, and literally invented this idea of the care package, which, as you know, actually was an acronym, Cooperative Assistance and Remittances in Europe. And I think most people don't even know the origin of the care package now, because it's become an iconic representation of generosity and connection, mm-hmm. and people send it to their kids and camp and college, and you present a care package to somebody who might be, you know, in the hospital. But this idea was, we can do something about a big challenge, people who were suffering. Within a few months of conceptualizing it, they figured out how to get 20,000 care packages, which were former army food rations, send them from Philadelphia to Le Havre, France. And then that became a journey that ended with literally, and it hasn't ended yet, but that with hundreds of million care packages, and that continues to now be built upon in terms of the work and care that we bring to the world. So it, for me, it's just such a wonderful signal of the capacity for ordinary people to do things. They also joined together with 22 organizations to help put this together, civil society, the capacity for civil society organizations to join together in a network of cooperation. And also to think about scale, right? You know, we often struggle with how do we think about scale and how do we get big solutions to big problems? And here was something that with a few people started, and then it involved hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of people, and was delivered at scale. And this is before the Amazon and the internet and all sorts of things. And they were figuring out how to get these packages to a war-ravaged Europe and to be able to actually deliver receipts that went back to the people that made the original contribution and say, this was delivered to this family. It's really remarkable and wonderful.
I had the chance to talk to the former president of Austria, Dr. Heinz Fischer, and he was born in 1938. So he really has good memory of war and what was it like. And I asked him, did you receive a care package? And he said, yes, because he lived in a part of Vienna. Vienna at those days was parted in four sections. And he lived in the UK section. And in the UK section, care packages were distributed. And he said, if he remembers it correctly, it was the first time that he had something like chocolate to eat. And I had the privilege not only to talk to a former president of Austria, but we did fully sponsored by our highly appreciated sponsor, CC Real, a time testimonial production where we did video interviews with the 10 time testimonials, men and women. And in all of their hearts and minds, care left a significant mark. And I have asked many politicians, do you think that this was the sparking moment for the good relationship between Austria and the US? And also the former president and the former chancellor said, yes, exactly, because everybody knows about the care package in Austria. Every seventh Austrian received the care package at those days. And this is an icon in Austria. So do you think that in the future we can reestablish this sort of global positive cooperation in spite of all the tensions that we face? Or are we more in a phase now where we go more apart? Where the continents go more apart. What do you think, personally?
I won't give up on the idea that we are still and can be connected. And I think it actually starts with these citizen-to-citizen connections, and we need to be doing more of that. And, you know, I take great heart in the stories, and you've done such a wonderful job of collecting them. But one of the care recipients that we are actually going to celebrate and honor next week when we celebrate one of our moments of our 80th anniversary here in the US is a woman named Marlene who is from Germany. And she, like your former president, has a wonderful story of receiving a care package. And she talked about the fact that she was sure that when the Americans came, that they were going to poison and they were going to kill the enemy. And so she lived with that kind of fear. And she just talks about the incredible sense of wonder that she had when they delivered a care package with chocolate. Chocolate is the great, the wonderful friend maker, because it was food that she desperately needed. It was that sense of, just a little bit of that sweetness that had been lacking for so long. And she, said that it forever changed her relationship with America. She actually moved to America and became an American citizen. So I hope that America has not lost its belief in the opportunity to be engaged both in the world and to be a positive force for good through caring for one another. And I think we can, hearken back to that. In fact, in the US now, CARE is reintroducing the idea of the care package, in very practical ways in terms of emergency response kits here in the US, in terms of our emergency relief pack, which is this incredible Swiss Army knife of a delivery system that supports a family of four for a month with a tarp and a water filtration system and solar panels and a cook stove, and that you can carry it on your back. So I think we're going to invent new ways of caring for one another. And I really do believe and hope that the 80th anniversary is an opportunity to use this as a touchstone and to look back and then to look forward for what we can learn from those lessons.
Absolutely. And isn't it also an interesting phenomena that especially those people who still have an own war experience, which is in Central Europe 80 years ago, and this is a big privilege. We had never never in our history we had so many years of peaceful peaceful times in Europe inside the European Union, because we should not forget the Balkan Wars 30 years ago, who also created and create until today really a massively negative impact, especially for civil societies living in the today Balkan states. But inside the European Union, we never had such a peaceful period of time. And isn't it amazing that especially those people who have the war experience, they understand much better than those who have it not, why it is important to collaborate and to help others? And how, for me, the biggest challenge is, how can we spread the word that this appetite to help others needs not necessarily have the experience of war myself? And we have it very close. We can go to Ukraine, we can see people who are suffering as much as did the people in World War II. But this empathy for others is very much focused in the older generation. It's not alone, because many fundraisers say the older ones have more to spend, and this is the reason why many donors are quite old. But it also has a lot to do with their practical experience of war and how it feels when you are hungry, because I never had this experience.
Well, I think that I hope that we will learn from that experience. And, you know, if you think about the 80 years, the UN, you know, the Marshall Plan, so many multilateral institutions that were born and that have helped support that peaceful existence that, as mm-hmm. you say, has not been complete peaceful, but that has given us, I think, a lot of gifts in terms of how the world has found ways of cooperating and supporting one another across boundaries, that I hope we can build upon while we still seek to, eliminate the kinds of conflicts that we still see in Ukraine and Gaza and so many places around the world. But I think there are really important historical lessons and precedents here. And in some ways, you know, we may need to go back to the essential personal connection of caring and kindness that was represented in the care package. And I often, as I talk to some of the, you know, scholars and public intellectuals in our world, and as we think about what happens next, it's not completely disassociated that you had the care package and hundreds of thousands of people, including President Harry Truman, who sent care packages. And then we had the Marshall Plan, which was a recognition that our interests were connected to the future of Europe. And now, for instance, most of the trading partners that are the most important to the U.S. have at one point been the recipient of U.S. aid. And so, again, I think that understanding of our interdependence, both as individuals in the world, but also as countries, and that there the reciprocity, that now we see from the U.S. were able to offer care packages in Austria, and now Care Austria delivers care to so many other places in the world. And there is that fundamental goodness of sharing and passing on connection and care to one another.
You mentioned the Marshall Plan in several comments, and I think we can also highlight in this point of our conversation that the Marshall Plan was, of course, not totally altruistic. So we have in aid and international aid and helping each other, we have also always this human side of it that you talk about so wonderfully. So we care for each other, this human way of, I want to help if I see disaster. This is something that is really a very normal thing for many human beings, I would say. On the other side, a plan like the Marshall Plan, of course, also secured, and this is also legitimate, I'm not criticizing that, don't get me wrong, that we could re-establish our trading relationship, our economies, and build up together something which was a broken world in many ways, at least for most of the Europeans at those times. And the Marshall Plan is still in place, by the way, in Austria. And Austria had its founding contract only in 1955. Mm. Yeah, just to remember all of us, the younger ones, that things are not moving fast, that everything that one would summarize under development, so-called development, can take years, and that attitudes are not vanishing quickly, and they also did not vanish quickly after World War II in Austria and many other European countries. And to a certain extent, we see some debates have survived for 80 years, which should keep us alert. And what really gives me more than hope, what gives me a professional drive, is that so many of the experts that were my guest in the Care in Action podcast said that we are now in shaky times, challenging times, and there will be a lot of disruption. But organizations like CARE might be stronger after the disruption, mm-hmm. and even more relevant if we are able to navigate in a calm and collaborative manner. And I'm a strong believer, and I think this is a very strong message for 80 years of CARE, right?
Absolutely. It's there's nothing that's more powerful in terms of speaking to the nature of collaboration and connection than the care package itself. And as you said, out of disruption, we have to find ways of building even more collaboration and more creative ways of serving. And as you said, I think that will be in some sense rooted in rebuilding the constituency of individuals who understand and are connected through their own donations or advocacy on behalf of caring in the world. And I think as we look forward, that constituency of concerned global citizens around the world, I think, is going to be so important.
That's important, that's encouraging, and it allows the two of us, Michelle Nunn and myself, to have our special 80 years of CARE anniversary moment, which we are not celebrating, but which we take as a good opportunity to shed light on the importance of caring for each other, of having good international connections, and of focusing on saving lives and helping people who are really in need or who have to face the challenges of massive emergencies. And we have this saying, CARE is always there. I would even say CARE has always been there, because 80 years in itself is an achievement for a private organization. It is really an achievement that we have lived through all these decades, all these challenges. My last question for my colleague is, 80 years is such a long time, but the next 80 years ahead of us, it will not be the two of us, I assume, who will lead the next 80 years. But do we have a vision, a personal vision, as leaders of CARE for the next 80 years?
Well, I think 80 years is such an extraordinary horizon of time. And it is a tribute to all of those who've come before us that we have continued to change, evolve, and build relevance and impact in the world. And I know that those who come after us will continue to do that. And I am just reminded of so many kind of ways of thinking about our work, and how are we going to bring in AI and innovation, and how are we going to focus on local organizations leading the way and supporting local governments to chart their own course through a powerful network of care of the future. But I also just hearken back to that fundamental, I think, in 80 years, there will still fundamentally be an exchange of care. And I always hearken back when I joined CARE. I had a call with my aunt, who was in her 80s at that point, and she, my Aunt Betty, when I told her that I was joining, she said, "I love CARE so much. I remember that I joined in a small group, a Girl Scout group in middle rural Georgia, to raise money for a care package," when she was, in maybe 12 years old. But almost 70 years later, she could still remember the name of the little girl that they sent the care package to, Marie-Francoise Brune. And in 80 years, I still believe that the work of care will be dependent upon the generosity and connection of individuals to one another and that reciprocal nature of care, of support for one another and interdependence and solidarity. And I, no matter what it looks like, I know that those values will continue to undergird that work.
I couldn't say it better. And I personally want to close this 80 years of care conversation. I can easily confess that I'm totally proud that I still am. And I can say I have been for many years a part of this global organization doing good for millions of people and being embedded in this interesting global collaboration, and also having found so many nice colleagues that have accompanied not only myself, but we have accompanied each other, and we still are doing for many years. And this is something that is also a personal takeaway from my profession, which is a privilege, I would say. And I wish that all the listeners and all the donors of care might say the same, that they are proud that they are contributing to care and that they are not naive believers of doing something good, because if you support care, you need not believe that we are doing good. You can see it. Have a look at our annual report. There you have everything you need to know. You see the numbers, you see our audits, you see how we deliver. But please be proud that we are all together. We are care globally. Thank you, Michelle Nunn. I think it was inspiring, at least for me. Yeah. And let's move into the next 8 years, even it's a long time.
We'll move forward together. Thank you so much.
That's for sure. Dear listeners, you don't have to wait even 80 days until the next Care in Action podcast is out there. Next week, we hear each other. I'm really looking forward to it. Have a nice day, evening, or whatever you have at the moment. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This was Care in Action, the podcast by Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager. For more information about care and our projects, visit care.at. There, you'll also find out how you can support our work. This podcast is made possible with the generous support of CC Real. Thank you for your commitment, which enables this series of conversations. See you next time.